hey, I've been to Nissan this summer. It's a great place to see a concert. Anyway, let's get on into the best of Don and Mike. This is a good one. Chuck Barris calls the boys. You remember Chuck Barris from the old Gong Show days? And they do some reminiscing. It's the best of Don and Mike on 106.7 WJFK.
Joining us now, the mother chucker, Chuck Barris. Chuck.
Yes.
Hey, Chuck. Oh, let me turn that down so you don't have to hear that. Chuck Barris, dude, I love you, man.
Oh, thank you, man.
I mean that. I mean, as a kid who grew up and wanted to, and I still do want to eventually be a guy that runs a network.
Yeah.
To be the guy who has got the wall with the shows where you move the shows around.
Right.
You really want to do that?
I do.
Oh, man.
It's been a dream. And I know that, you know, back in the day, you had all of the shows that were on the network. Let me tell you, I loved all your shows. I loved the Gong Show. I read your book when it first came out.
Thank you.
Loved it. Came in and said, didn't know if I believed it or not, but loved the book. And then, well, these guys will tell you, the day that I heard it was being made into a movie,
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, God. And with Clooney.
Yeah.
And Julia Roberts. And
Sam Rockwell.
The guy who played you was incredible.
Were you happy with his performance,
oh,
Chuck?
Oh, thrilled. The funny thing was, I wasn't so thrilled when I first heard he was going to do it because I hardly knew him. But after I got to know him and watched that performance, I can't imagine anybody else doing it but Sam Rockwell.
Now, what would be your number one direction to tell an actor playing you how to play you?
You know, that's a good question, and I would answer, don't play me. Just do the part. Just play yourself doing the part. That's all. Because otherwise, you get some kind of a forced or funny imitation. You know, Sam followed me around for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
He listened to me read from the book so he could get a kind of an idea how I spoke. He filmed me on a digital camera so he could get some moves down. He watched all the videotapes. But he didn't go up to Montreal where we filmed it to play me, to imitate me. He just decided to do himself. And whatever seeped in from that other stuff, you know, would work.
That's cool.
What was weird was, of course he had your dancing, your Gong Show
dance.
Yeah,
but he's a dancer, you know that.
But
I'm not.
Also, at the very end of the Gong Show, when as a viewer I could tell you were pissed off or drunk or losing interest or whatever it was, he really encapsulated that in his performance.
He sure did.
When you would come out and just not give an F.
Yep.
And you'd get that little, like, that toothy little grit teeth, angry little, we're going to be right back. And you were really pissed when that was going on.
Yeah, well, I was angry, you know. Pissed. That's right. And disappointed and bitter. And it was a culmination of, you know, of 15 years of doing this stuff. And from the very first day, the critics didn't like me and they never stopped. And I guess that by that time, 1980, the fun had worn off. And when the fun wore out, then it really wasn't worth doing it anymore.
How true was the part, not only in the book, but even more so in the movie, about Drew Barrymore, your girlfriend? Was your girlfriend that hot? Was she that understanding?
What are you talking about in the movie?
Well,
you're talking about Penny.
Yeah, his lifelong girlfriend, Penny, who's with him from the beginning, but he does stuff like goes out and bangs other chicks, and Penny comes home one night and he's there with another girl.
Yeah. That you know, the true Penny character was an amalgamation of two people that covered that span of time. But the basic Penny, the one that I have in mind, was like that. She really was, and she was so great that in that respect that eventually when she, you know, left me for someone else, I was blown away.
Now, somebody told me your movie, this movie, which I loved, will be re-released this summer,
August
right?
August 1st. Isn't that strange?
You know, why is? I mean, obviously, it wasn't a huge hit, but I'm telling you, I saw it. When I came back the day after, I said,
"Yeah, you
fantastic.
Loved it,
right?"
What?
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, it came out at the worst time. I couldn't understand it, but I couldn't understand Harvey Weinstein of Miramax making that kind of a mistake because he's such a good marketer, and he brought it out. But it was really George was really kind of pushing for it because he thought maybe Sam could get an Oscar nomination or something like that. It came out at Christmas when there were nothing but blockbusters. The Hours, the Gangs of New York, Chicago, and so forth and so on. Went on and on and on. It should have been, in my opinion, and I don't know anything about movies, it should have been brought out, in the summer. So apparently they feel that it didn't get its opportunity properly, and they're going to bring it back out on August 1st, and they're going to promote it with a whole new campaign. And I think it's first of all, I'm thrilled, and secondly, I think it's smart.
I think it's very smart, and I don't, you know, off the top of my head, I can't think of the examples, but I know there have to be examples of that type of thing being done before where it's worked. I know it, you know, it certainly works with records occasionally.
And I'll tell you one other thing about this movie that you're going to love. Even if you don't know a lot about the life of Chuck Barris, the recreation of the sets of the Newlywed Game, the Dating Game, the Gong Show. I mean, if you grew up on those shows like I did and watched them every day, the sets are absolutely perfect.
You're absolutely right. I could perform any of those shows from those sets. They were absolutely perfect, as you said.
And if you're really nutty into Chuck Barris and the whole thing like I am, at one point Jim Lang is interviewed,
right?
And there was a weird technique used where it was, I don't know what you did with the lens, but it was nutty.
That was George.
But it was okay. It was Clooney, but you have the real host, the Dating Game, talking about
that's cool.
The stuff that happened, and you see the original premise of the Dating Game with people dropping the F-bomb and on the Newlywed Game dropping the F-bomb,
right.
And the meeting at ABC where they say, we can never air this.
Yeah, that's all true. I mean,
I know, I read the book.
Yeah.
I read the book. I saw the movie.
So, yeah, I mean, that sometimes I find that people find that harder to believe in a lot of other things, but that's basically true, and all that stuff is, and it was just amazing. I mean, the whole thing was amazing to me. It still is. I mean, I just can't get over it, you know.
And I know you have to be sick to death of this, and I promise I won't belabor you on this.
The CIA
now. I mean, I know you've given answers that aren't really answers, and I know I read somewhere that one of your answers was the CIA denied it, and if the CIA denied it,
what would the CIA do but deny it?
Correct. Yeah, but you know something, I made up my mind, and when the book came out 20-some years ago, it came and went because the literary critics took up where the television critics left off and just said, what kind of book could this be from the guy that gave us the Gong Show and the Dating Game? So the book left. But so did all questions about it. But now here it reappears 20-some years later, and we're very much involved in CIA stuff now and all sorts of other things, and it becomes a big question. I never intended to ever answer that question for the simple reason that I felt there wasn't any point to it. My whole feeling was, you read the book, you see the movie. If you enjoy the book, if you enjoy the movie, I'm a happy cat. If you don't, then I've messed up somewhere. What I did or didn't do doesn't enter into it. That's a major cop-out, but there's nowhere is it written that I have to tell about.
Chuck,
the question I want to ask you, I want to ask you a question, though. Will there be a time, and I equate it kind of like when you're talking about whoever knows who Deep Throat was in Watergate will reveal it after the person passes away. Do you have something in a time capsule or a safe deposit box where the definitive Chuck Barris statement will be released after your death?
You know something? I can see Deep Throat. I really can. I mean, where they're going to release that when he dies or something.
Right.
But, you know, I have never put importance on this thing, and so I'm kind of amazed that anybody really cares. And so I don't plan to tell anybody anything.
and you know why you shouldn't? Is that I've always viewed it, and I swear on my kid's life, when that book originally came out, I'm probably the only guy that bought it. My wife actually bought it for me, and she said, I got a book. I remember the day she came back from the bookstore. One of your heroes has written a book.
Right.
So I got the original book, the hardcover.
Yeah.
Well, you hired disc jockeys, too, didn't you, to do your game shows? I mean, a lot of times.
Of course.
And at the time, I remember reading it And the first thing that I thought was, it's very Andy Kaufman-like, that you got this whole thing going, this whole scam going. Maybe you were in the CIA. Maybe you weren't in the... Frankly, I don't think you were. But either way, it's a great... It's a great gig.
It's the same thing. It's the same way you look at people that go to parties. Yeah. You want somebody to bring something to the table. I mean, if we all just live our lives without having any interesting people that have anything to say whatsoever, life would be too boring. And one thing you can say about Chuck Barris, you are not boring at all.
No, I've never accused of that. That's one of the few things I wasn't accused of.
Is it creepy?
Those things.
Is it creepy like a time machine to watch the movie? Is it creepy to see all the things that happen to you, even if they are exaggerated for the movie? Isn't it creepy to see it all?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's an amazing experience. I mean, not many people actually, I guess, get to experience that, but it sure is amazing. I'll tell you, it scared the hell out of me. I was just panic-stricken because, you know, I wrote a book, and Charlie Kaufman, who's pretty far-out guy in his own right, he wrote the screenplay. You know, he did Malkovich and that adaptation. But he wrote this screenplay before he did those screenplays. And then you got George Clooney taking his version of Charlie's screenplay and adding his vision. By the time it hits the screen, you know, I walk into the theater and I just hope that I'm not going to be embarrassed or ashamed or walk out of there, you know, with a disguise on. And it didn't happen. I mean, I just thought it was kind of great.
Well, you know, I see, this is where our listeners think I'm an idiot. I walked out on Anger Management. And I think Adam Sandler's funny. I love a lot of his stuff. But it was a combination of people talking in the movie, and the movie just sucked.
Yeah.
So I would not recommend that to anybody. However, I would say, without a doubt, your movie was one of the best movies I'd seen in the last 5 years. Now, of course, I'm a sucker for the subject.
Yeah, but I mean, it's pop culture at its finest, which is one of your passions. And you say what you will, and you know, and I know how the critics savaged you when you were doing the Gong Show, Chuck. But I mean, pop culture is what pop culture is, and if you're a student of it, which I know Don is, it's probably a fascinating ride for everybody to go see this, and you know, that lived during that era.
And
but
Chuck,
you know something, Mike? The thing is that. You know, we were listed, we were on a lot of lists as one of the top 10 pictures of the year. And as in anything that seems to come out of this, what I do, you know, the picture came and went to a certain degree. And it's coming back is a godsend. But I don't know what that was. I mean, that took me completely by surprise because I thought the movie was really good. I didn't know whether there was an anger still out there about me. And then, you know, I confessed to George Clooney one day. I said, hey, George, I think it's my fault. I think you picked a bad subject. I don't think anybody really gives a hoot about what's happening with me. And then George said to me, no, I think it's my fault. I don't think any of these critics or any of these people want to give me any credit. But we couldn't figure it out.
Well, I'm telling you, I read the book. I love the subject. It's fantastic.
I detect a sensitivity on your part as far as, you know, the critics. And I think I really speak for the majority of Americans here when I remember the Gong Show. And the critics may have given you a hard time, but the perception that I always got watching that show was it was so fascinating to watch a guy that didn't fit into the stereotype of the game show host.
Yep.
That's the thing I love the most about the Gong Show. You know, I think whether you love Chuck Barris or you hate Chuck Barris, most people were riveted because it was so unique, and I'm surprised that you haven't gotten that from people or anybody said that before.
I could talk about that for about an hour and a half, but you know, trying to keep my mouth shut. I'll tell you this: probably the best thing of the movie and the release of the book, and then was having to go out to the bookstores and promote the book. And when I used to do that 20 years ago, when it first came out, I would go to a bookstore. There would be lots of books piled up, a big sign about me coming, and nobody was there. And so now here it is, 20-some years later, they're hanging from the chandeliers in L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, Washington, New York. You couldn't get any more people in there. That was very that was very surprising to me, because I was under the impression that nobody really liked the stuff that I was doing.
Wow, that blows me away. Wow. That blows me away that you...
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I was just blown away. I said to my wife, I hope somebody shows up. I mean, I went up to the University of Syracuse two weeks ago and spoke to students. It was packed.
Right. You know, I don't want to climb all the way into your... But you realize that all of these shows that we have, all of these shows that we have now, really, they're all just playing off what you started over 30 years ago, which is the best TV is just regular people being regular people.
Spontaneous.
Yeah.
That was the cookie. The Dating Game was the first spontaneous show that was on as a game show. There weren't any right or wrong answers. Everything preceding the Dating Game were Q&A or stunts.
And I remember it used to be on the afternoon, and then they moved it to Saturday night. And my God, Saturday night, the first time it was on Saturday night, you would have thought that I had driven a stake through my father's heart when he watched the Dating Game and said, I cannot believe, you know, this is back in the day, I cannot believe this is on television.
Wow.
That's what your father said?
Yeah, well, my dad had a lot of hang-ups.
No, he didn't. Not really. The Chicago Tribune had a banner headline the first day the Dating Game went on the air on a Monday in December of 1965. It says, daytime television hits all-time low.
Wow.
So, you know, to this day, I don't know what was so lowering the bar of civilization about a girl asking three guys, questions to see.
That's amazing. I mean, there was that kind of reaction in some people.
It was virulent, and it did nothing but grow.
And the thing is, Chuck, now you got to look at, like, if you read Entertainment Weekly or People or even the New York Times Magazine, you see the guy who thought up Joe Millionaire.
Right.
And you see articles about this guy where they're saying, well, this guy's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, and I'm not taking anything away from him, because the Joe Millionaire premise was a great premise. But think, Jesus Christ, if it was 30 years ago and we had the society we had now, and you were the guy coming up with the stuff first, like you did, you'd have been treated, listen, nobody liked anything you did except the public.
Well, that's true. The funny thing was, that, I believe, my own personal belief is that game shows mirror the times we live in. I was always accused of humiliating contestants, which I never understood, because the contestants, I know, I was there, I watched them. Mm-hmm. They all were having a great time.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the shows, the Gong Show, the acts knew they weren't in show business, and they knew they didn't have a career in show business, and the judges knew it too, and everybody was having fun. Now, but I think the times were more fun then. Now you come up here to 2000, and you have humiliation galore. I mean, the American Idol, these people actually think they're talented.
Right.
And the judges are humiliating, tearing them apart, trying to make them cry. And this is what everybody loves, Risk Factor. They're eating maggots. I don't understand, what this mean-spirited feeling is today. I could never create a show that would be a hit today.
Well, listen, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, and I have to get my one stupid Chuck Barris question in that I answered
because he's agreed to take the sex quiz.
Okay, here's my stupid. Did you have an extensive, when you're doing the Gong Show, an extensive hat collection? Because based on the way you love to wear hats, I always was wondering that. That's my.
Oh, I always loved hats. I'll make it real quick. I got people just sent them to me.
Okay.
And I had the best collection of hats, which I gave away after I did the show.
Okay, good. I'm glad I asked the question.
Chuck, we are going to be there 2 weeks from Friday. We'd love to have you come. If you want to just sit down and just talk whenever you want to talk on our show.
I've got that written down big time.
All right, hold on.
I'm going to try my best.
All right, hold on. Hopefully we'll see you then.
What a pleasure talking to you, Chuck. Really,
Chuck,
we enjoy
it.
Same here, gang.
Yeah. All right,
bye-bye.
Thanks. Hold on there, Chuck.
Talk
to one of our peoples.
Okay.
And the movie is Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Right.
And that's the book. And I told you after I saw the movie, I loved it.
That was a lot of fun.
He was a good guest.
Yeah, I mean, really, really, and a nice guy. Very sensitive to the critics, which surprises me. I mean, a guy with that much success, but, hey, you're in this business, so a lot of people feel the same way.
You get past the whole thing with the CIA, which, as I told you, I think is just a bunch of BS.
Said he will never you know, let any more information out.
Huh. No, it's like Andy Kaufman in the wrestling. You know, it's his gag.
Mystique.
Yeah.
And I will go see the movie when they re-release it, because I'd be
me
curious
too.
You, I think, indicated that you come away from the movie
not believing
that he was
not believing he did it. No. But
doesn't matter.
You know, and that even made me fonder of Chuck Barris, that he put a movie out where the guy who plays him is actually doing this. But, like, when they're doing it, they're presenting it in a way where you're saying, this is unbelievable.
How many shows total? When you got the dating game, the newlywed game, those are the biggies.
The Gong Show, the Donner 98 Beauty Show.
Right.
I think the most amazing statistic is at one time he was responsible for
27
half hours of television programming
mostly,
in a week.
Mostly game shows, right?
Almost entirely game shows.
So I'd love to see that list of game shows that he produced.
Well, I hope he comes to Philly in a couple of weeks. He'd be a great guest.
There was.
And really, get off your ass and go see that movie.
He's one of the guys that's on the list, too. Wouldn't he be fun to just hang with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I bet he's not wild. I bet he's not a wild guy. But you think so? You think still?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, because I think he's banged like thousands of women.
Yeah. But very
just
straight.
One at a time in a very conventional way.
Right.
Okay. Dynamite, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Hideout with El Jefe and J-Dubs.
More of The Hideout, your favorite hetero show.
Two straight guys sitting in a room.
We like big cars and women.
The Hideout after Ron and Fez.
Are you asking me out right now?
I know.
And you.
On 106.7 WJFK.
If you're tired of temporary diets and want a permanent weight loss solution, Healthy Inspirations is the answer. 703-331-LOSE. 703-331-LOSE for the Healthy Inspirations nearest you.
Why put up with wireless that doesn't work where you need it to? At Verizon Wireless, we invest over $4 billion a year in our network, more than any other carrier, to make sure we deliver superior reliability in more places. Just listen to some of them.
I work in a diner, and I get signal.
You don't have to walk block to block to hear a person.
I traveled extensively. Verizon works the best.
Verizon Wireless absolutely works for me.
It's time you got the wireless network that gives you more of the reliability you're looking for. Verizon Wireless.
You know why I switched to Verizon? They're reliable.
I have a phone that's both reliable, and it works in places that other phones didn't.
It's probably the most reliable cell phone I've ever had, and I've had many.
I love it. It is really the best service out there.
So ask around. People will tell you. Verizon Wireless works. Bring your number over to America's most reliable wireless network today or call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN. Verizon Wireless. We never stop working for you. Subject to customer agreement and calling plan. Porting eligibility varies.
That's a no-brainer. Verizon Wireless.